Your body is brilliant. Nature's Bounty has a bounty of solutions to help you thrive, supporting your systems from your head to your heels. Nature's Bounty High Absorption Magnesium Glycinate supports heart, bone, nerve, and muscle health, while just one hair growth capsule a day helps grow thicker, fuller hair. Delicious new Nature's Bounty probiotic gummies contain prebiotics and postbiotics, supporting gut health, regularity, and immune health. Nature's Bounty. It's in your nature. Learn more at naturesbounty.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have an in for Pat. It takes a lot to shock, stun, surprise me, but I watched last night's documentary program, The Phone Box Babies, and it was unbelievable, unbelievable. If, for those who didn't see it, the backstory is that in the 1960s, at separate times, three babies were left at differing locations around the country shortly after their baby. They were wrapped up. They were absolutely few days old infants. David McBride was found in a Belfast driveway. John Dowling was found in a Drogheda phone box. And my guest in studio here, Helen Ward, was found at a Dundalk phone box. It transpired that they're all siblings. They never knew this. Their story and the discovery of each other were told last night in the Phone Box Babies, which aired in RTE1. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Helen Ward and on the line in Birmingham by her brother David McBride. So, for those of you who haven't seen the programme, I really would recommend it because it's so unbelievable. Helen, welcome. Basically, the story is your father was a guy who was married and had 14 children in a marital situation in Belfast. Your mother never married, and the journey, she ended up in a nursing home in County Kerry, and you visited her grave on the programme, and she had actually passed away 2 years before you actually found out who, you know, she was. Just tell us your own personal story in terms of what happened after you were in the phone box.
I was brought to St. Joseph's Baby Home in Stamullen, where I was adopted at just a year old, and I moved to Ashburn, County Meath. I had a great upbringing. My parents were Catholic, a very kind, loving family. At about 7 or 8 years of age, I always remember we were at a funeral, family funeral, wake, and I was playing with some of my cousins, and one of them made a point to me that I was the adopted one of the family. And it was kind of out of the blue, so I was very much stunned. And I was taken back by those words, and I think that was the start of my journey, really, because there was something in those words that made me feel that I didn't belong fully, or there was a void in my life. So from that, and as I grew into my teenage...
And you asked your adoptive parents about it.
Well, my
And your dad kind of says, let's sleep in dogs lie or something.
Yeah,
like
that was when I was kind of about 18. But they were open when I was younger. They did say, you know, they had adopted me and they, you know, I was loved, I was cherished and everything when I was very young. But I think I started to question then when I got into my teenage ages. And then when my children were born, I remember, you know, that was a significant point for me because I was thinking, OK, where is my birth mother at that particular stage?
And your birth cert didn't reveal that?
Well, no, I'd actually never even looked at my birth cert, to be perfectly honest, before I was nearly 35. I'll tell you why, because when I was 35, I decided I'd go searching further and I needed like information. So I went to a social worker to get everything sorted. And it was, she presented me with my first birth cert, which basically said baby found exposed on Ladieswell Terrace. Father unknown, mother unknown. And like when I got that, it was such a cold, empty, hollow piece of paper. And I suppose my journey then escalated from there on with the support of my very good friends, my children, until I got a gift for my Oh no, sorry, I did the Joe Duffy Show, which
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, which was incredible, an incredible moment.
And that actually alerted the person who found you in the kiosk. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. The lorry driver. We're the also joined driver. On the line by your brother, David McBride, who now lives in Birmingham. Maybe you could give us, David, welcome to the programme, a brief summary of what you've learned about your birth and adoption.
Your body is brilliant. Nature's Bounty has a bounty of solutions to help you thrive, supporting your systems from your head to your heels. Nature's Bounty High Absorption Magnesium Glycinate supports heart, bone, nerve, and muscle health, while just one hair growth capsule a day helps grow thicker, fuller hair. Delicious new Nature's Bounty probiotic gummies contain prebiotics and postbiotics, supporting gut health, regularity, and immune health. Nature's Bounty. It's in your nature. Learn more at naturesbounty.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, I was found on the 16th of January 1962 in a driveway in Dunmurry, which is about 2 miles from the Belfast city centre. I was found in a car by a doctor's wife. They immediately called the police, who then took me to a hospital in the city. To the city hospital, and then from the city hospital, I was moved to a home in Larne, where I remained in Larne for about 10 months. I was then fostered out to a Protestant family who lived in Lisburn, which is about 8 miles from Belfast, and I was eventually adopted at 8 years of age. The reason it took so long for me to be adopted was because social services were they were objecting to an adoption based on the fact that they didn't know whether my biological mother was a Protestant or a Catholic, and due to the things in the north, they were a wee bit concerned about allowing me to be adopted earlier. So when I was 15, 16, I decided that the troubles had got so bad in Northern Ireland that I wanted to go, and I decided to join the military. But I needed a birth certificate. And so I went into Belfast with my father to the registry office, and I got this certificate, which wasn't a birth certificate. It was an adoption certificate. I knew I'd been adopted, but I didn't know the background. So my father actually sat down and explained to me the background about being found in a car in Dunmurry, etc. And obviously that was a wee bit of a shock, because you always think you're adopted. At some point you might actually meet your mother or something, but it sort of kicked me in the teeth because I didn't have any form of identity from then. So that was a huge shock to me. And then I obviously joined the military and left Northern Ireland for a period of time.
And you were born in 62. Helen was born in 68. And then it transpired that John Dowling was found in a Drogheda phone box in 1965. The bit I didn't quite get was that each of you, in your searching, had done a DNA test. And you got a call to say that there was a match, putting Helen in touch with David and subsequently both of you in touch with John. How did they actually find the birth parents in Belfast and your mother?
Well, the DNA element of it was that Helen had obviously done a DNA test because her friend had given her it as a birthday present. And my older sister was watching a programme in the north, and she contacted me and said, look, you know the researcher from ITV quite well. Why don't you contact her? Because it seems you might be able to get a bit of help. So I did contact her, and she sent me a DNA test out. I sent the DNA test back. And then a couple of weeks later, she sent me a second one out and said, David, can you do a second one for us? And I thought, that's a wee bit strange than doing a second one. So I sent the second one back. And then a few weeks later, I got a call basically to say that they would like to meet with me to discuss the DNA test. So you obviously, knowing the type of program that it was, you obviously think, well, they find something. But prior to me meeting with them, Helen will obviously tell you about the background to her and her DNA test. But obviously you sit and you think, well, there must be something here. They must have found a sister or a brother, or they must have found my mother. And that's what you think at that point in time, because you think it's just you and not anyone else.
So, Helen, tell us about your DNA test and when you got the call to say that you're not alone in terms of a DNA matchup.
I got the call in early July 2019, by Ariel Bruce, the social worker for long lost families. And she basically told me, I have a full sibling. And I think, you know, like, to me, that was an absolute shock. I was excited to meet straight away. You know, and then they invited me to do the show and stuff like that. And I had to kind of hold it in till the show in the October before I could say it to anybody, which was about 13 weeks and about 3 days. But I remember it was the most exciting, the most emotional and the most memorable experience for my first meeting with both David and John.
When did they discover about John?
John then was in 2021. We got a call just after Christmas to say they would like to us to get back together again, that they had found something else. And of course, we were really, really excited about the prospects of it all. And it materialised that we had another brother, John. And it was his daughter who was in the Gold Coast in Australia who had looked at the programme. She'd been off work that particular day, looked at the programme and made the connection. Through
quite remarkable.
Absolutely.
She sussed out, hey, mm-hmm. this is remarkably similar, her dad's story. Yeah. And she actually prompted it then to go investigate that, to get a DNA test done with their dad, yeah. and so on. So it was slightly different. There was a bit of impetus there.
Oh, there was.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I totally get, David, from the programme, the social mores at the time, that it was taboo to have children out of wedlock, mother and baby homes, that whole era. And secondly, I get the kind of almost Protestant Catholic thing and the fact that he had 14 kids of his own and so on. But, and it was a significant but, here is a woman, your mother, who on three occasions abandoned a baby in I would say potentially reckless circumstances that endangered them. And she lived out her life, and in the nursing home no one ever knew this secret. Like, the question I'm asking is the mentality of your mother to do this. I just find, like, I can totally get if you had a once-off pregnancy and it was, you know, an extremist situation and an immature person. But three times? It just seems a bit odd to me.
Well, first and foremost, let me explain something to you. When I was doing an original search, I went into a home in Belfast and met with the head of the Catholic Church in Northern Ireland. And he told me that in December 61, a lady came in to the baby home and was heavily pregnant, and she came in with a gentleman, and they were from the south of Ireland, because our father was from the south of Ireland as well. And the situation was that they explained the requirements for my mother, for if it was our mother, to have the baby in the baby home, and what would be expected of her, and potentially what would happen to me at that point if it was my mother. That lady, and this was allegedly between Christmas and New Year, that lady left that home the following day. So she had a decision to make. And the problem is that people will judge her and they will say that, well, it's three times. How could she have done that? Well, we've got to look at the times. And we know now from the history of Ireland and the ignorance sometimes of people because of what the church were telling him at the time. And our mother was one of thousands of women over that period of time who had children and had to give them up or were taken into baby homes, mother and baby homes, or Magdalene laundries, and had an appalling life. Our mother obviously had a relationship which lasted for some considerable period of time. And also, we've got to remember, no contraception in Ireland at the time. And she took, I was nearly 2 weeks old when I was found, and she took a constructive decision that what life can I give these children? How can I actually care for these children in a society who will despise me and despise my children? I have got to try and give them the best life possible. And what she tried to do, and leaving us was not in any way reckless, because from my finding in Belfast, I was placed in a car outside a house which had lights on, and the car and the car door was open, and there was shopping in the car. Okay,
no, and therefore it was actually perhaps a wise decision what she did with the view. We're out of time. I just want to ask you, because I found the whole story really life affirming and fantastic, and I really recommend people to watch it. Do you have all the, like, the bond between you was clearly self evident? You don't look identical, but do you have similar interests? Do you like the same stuff, the three of you, Ellen?
I do think we like quite a lot of the same stuff. Now, I wouldn't be the footballer, yeah, but we're all good at, I suppose, the cooking. We're good at family stuff. And we all have great interests in each other's interests as well, which is very, very important.
And it's completed your lives. You can see that. It's completed your journeys and so on. Look, we could talk for another hour about this, but it's been an absolute honour and pleasure to speak to David McBride, talking to us from Birmingham, and his sister, Helen Ward. I really recommend that you watch the programme. Thank you indeed for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.